I challenged you specifically last week about getting your marriage to the right place. Not just a good place, but getting it to the right place. There's a difference there. Now, I want to just tell you today, if your marriage is struggling, don't just leave it there, okay? Yes, we can get together and we can talk about marriage for 4 weeks and we can be encouraged and we can go home and work on some things, but working on a good marriage and getting your marriage to the right place is going to take effort more than 4 weeks in January. It's going to take effort all the year through. So if you need help in your marriage and if there's something we can help with, please let us know, okay? Don't just continue on as if things are fine. Let us know if we can help you. On that note, if we can help you get your relationship to a God-honoring marriage, let me know. I would love to help you with that in any way that I can. Next week, starting a brand new series called Rise Above, The Life of Joseph, starting at the tail end of the book of Genesis and looking at his life and some lessons. Joseph is one of my favorite people of the Bible. I know that he's one of the favorite people of the Bible of many of you. I know that because you told me so last week. I'm thrilled, Seth, that we're going to study about Joseph. Joseph was a brother sold into slavery, a slave who faced trials and temptation, a prisoner innocent of any crime, a wise man full of integrity who ends up being elevated to a position of very high, great influence. Few people have endured the challenges that Joseph faced and come through to overcome them. So I hope that you'll make a priority over the next several weeks as we look at Joseph's life. Specifically, next week, we're going to look at rising above adversity. Today, I want to talk with you about the state of the church, as Rocky mentioned already. Hopefully, when you came in today, you got a program and also a copy of our annual report. You might pull that out after a little while, but I'm going to need some help this morning. A little bit of participation, if you will. So talking about the state of the church, I know this is kind of timely. I want to split the room right down the middle, and everyone on this side of the room, no smiling at all during the message today, okay? In fact, you need to scowl and frown, and you can even turn to someone and just shake your head in disgust from time to time. That would be perfectly acceptable and appropriate for today, okay? And unless, of course, I mention something about Jesus, who is universal, and then you do need to join everyone else on the other side of the room in applauding, but you can slow clap, okay? So that's okay. Everyone on this side of the room, I need you to be just positive and upbeat and just, you know, nodding in affirmation today. It would be appropriate to stand about every 30 seconds and clap for about 2 minutes. If we all play our parts today, I think we can turn about 30 minutes of information into about an hour and a half. So if you caught the State of the Union this last week, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm kidding. Don't do any of that I just mentioned. I'll have to call somebody to come take you out of the service. But I do want to share with you, though, the state of the church, and specifically the state of the local church, the church here, Northeast Christian Church. I've not shared information like this for quite some time, probably been about 3 years, on a Sunday morning setting. And it hasn't been on purpose. It's just been that we've been preaching and teaching on other subjects, but it felt like an appropriate time for our church to pause and just consider some things that God has been doing here over the last several months, the last year or so. And so if you're new here today and you're thinking, oh my, you know, I hope that this will be encouraging to you and inspiring to you to maybe be a part of something that God is doing here at Northeast Christian Church. There is cause to celebrate. It's been a good year. You have been generous and helpful as a church. And so I want to make sure that we just pause for a moment and recognize some things that God is doing. I do believe, don't miss this, I do believe that the local church is the hope for the world. Okay? We're not the only local church. I get that. There are many in this town. But I do believe that the local church is the hope of the world. The local church is conveying the message of Jesus Christ. And specifically, our church is about conveying that message to this valley. We want to see every person in this valley have the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ. In a perfect world, we would love to see everyone in this valley transformed by the message of Jesus Christ. We want to know Jesus. We want to make him known to other people. In our mission statement, we're about loving God and loving other people and making disciples, bringing people to a place where they know who Jesus is and they are following Jesus. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says this in the King James Version, where there is no vision, the people perish. The Message translation says this, If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So as a church, every once in a while, we need to make sure that we clarify what our vision is, what our mission is, what our purpose is as a church. So today I want to share with you three key thoughts, three things that I just want to pause and consider, or maybe propel us forward, if you will. And again, if you're new here today, perhaps today will be a moment where you can understand that Northeast Christian Church is a place for you. It may not be the only place for you, but it is. There's a place here for you. We want you to be welcome. We want you to be challenged to get involved. If you've been a part of this church for a while, perhaps today, I hope today, will reinvigorate in you your passion for who God is and what he wants to do in your life. And not just what God is doing here as a church, but what God wants to do in your life, you specifically, you personally. So the first thing I want to do this morning is I want to pause and celebrate the past. To pause and celebrate the past, Andy Stanley is a pastor down in Georgia, and he says this, "What is celebrated gets repeated." And you can apply that across a lot of life. What gets celebrated gets repeated in your workplace, on your team, in your family, an employee, whatever it may be, especially in the church, what gets celebrated is repeated. And here's why this is important. I also think one of the most important, personally reflective things that you can do, that I can do in life, is to look back at what God has already done. To reflect back, to think back. Don't miss this. If you don't celebrate what God has already done, you might miss out on what God can actually do. If you don't celebrate in your life what God has already done, you might miss out on what God can actually do in your life moving forward. So again, I want to take a look at some information in our annual report for 2017 and just consider what God has done. Part of the reason I don't want us to forget is this. We don't want to miss what God's done in the past as we look towards the future, as we're moving that direction. You can download this on our website. Hopefully you got a printed copy. If you didn't, you can pick one up on your way out today. So again, a few things to share with you from this report. First of all, attendance. Last year, we saw a rise in attendance. On a weekly average, we had 241 people here every single Sunday between our first service and second service. Easter Sunday, as you might expect, Easter Sunday was the high of this year with 362 people here. 75 people are connected in 7 different small groups at Northeast Christian in order to grow deeper in their faith and friendships, and I'll explain that a little bit more later on. I do want to celebrate something at least exciting to me. I'm sure it was exciting to many of you as well. On October 1st, we had a special offering with one key purpose, but we separated it out a bit, to raise money to renovate this building. This building was built in the early 80s. It's a great building size-wise. It was well-built, but we need to pour some money into this facility and update it and renovate it. We raised $116,000 as a church on October 1st. That was encouraging to me. It was amazing to see that after the fact. We took 10% of that because we're a church that we believe in sending away 10% of what is given. So we took 10%, $11,600, and we sent that to Plant Utah, a ministry in Salt Lake City that's involved in planting churches there. It was exciting. This isn't on the screen, but here we have something called Change for a Dollar. If you've been here for a while, you've probably heard me talk about that. Here's the idea. Every single week, based on attendance for that morning, we take a dollar per person in attendance and we set that money aside. And then as soon as we can, we give that to help meet very practical needs in our community. It might be a utility bill. It might be to help repair a car. It might be to help with some food or some needs with a student at CMU, that sort of thing. I shared this with you several months ago, but this year, we literally were part of God saving a life. And I'll explain that if you have forgotten. We were approached by CMU, Colorado Mesa University, with a student there. And again, I don't ask for names. They usually give me a first name, that's all. But a single mom in attendance at Colorado Mesa who had just found out she was pregnant, had a full course load, had trouble balancing work and that sort of thing. And they said, "Could you help meet some of her rent and some food expenses, that sort of thing?" I said, "Sure, we would love to." Found out a few months later, she was considering terminating her pregnancy, having an abortion, when all of this was taking place. Well, due to some very practical encouragement from us, just some all we did was send her some money, okay, and helped meet some needs. And some changes that they made in her schedule at Colorado Mesa with their advisors there, she chose to keep her baby. Now, I don't really know how to say that, except it was awesome to me to be a part of something so simple, so practical as helping with some money and saving a life there. Baptisms. We had 14 people who were baptized and gave their life to Christ in 2017. Now, it's not because we give away black shirts that say changed on them. That's not why. You know why. Because God has done something in their life. They've come to an understanding of who He is and who they are and that they need Jesus in their life. And so they've made that decision. We had six of those decisions, six baptisms on September 10th during our I Love My Church series. One very special to me was the week after on the 17th as our daughter, Emily, was baptized. And then two other baptisms after that. What leads people to that decision, where they've interacted with God and figured out who they are and who He is, what leads people, don't miss this, is usually them experiencing God's love through someone else. That's you. So in your home, in your workplace, at school, in your neighborhood, wherever that may be, you showing God's love to them in a practical way often is what initially brings them to that place where they start asking, well, something's different about this person. Something's different about, and they maybe get it invited to church or something like that. It often starts, more times than not, it starts with an invitation. So don't miss that. Someone you know might be one invite away from a decision that will end up changing the course of their eternity. I'm not going to get into all the different events and other serving projects that took place at this church or through people that are part of Northeast and call Northeast home. We don't have time for that. But I just want to highlight a few things that happened this last year that were exciting to me. Number two this morning, I want to challenge you to picture a preferred future with faith. And I know that's a little wordy. It's wordy for a reason. A preferred future is basically a vision statement. So if you are at a workplace or maybe your family has a vision statement, whatever that may be, a vision statement is just a preferred future. I want to challenge you to picture a preferred future with faith. Look into the future, envisioning what God wants to do in your life, through you, and around you. When you look forward into the future, there's a couple different postures you can take. You can take a posture of fear and concern and worry, or a posture of faith. Now, thinking that through for a minute, which one do you think people tend to gravitate towards naturally? Most often, it's a posture of fear. There's concern about the future. For one thing, the future is often uncertain or looks bleak. You know, there's too much pain. There are too many problems. Life is too complicated. There's too much worry or concern or drugs or crime in this valley or depression or anxiety or corruption or marriage problems or family problems. There's just too much. And so oftentimes when we look at the future, we do so with a posture of fear. It's amazing to me how throughout Scripture, many times, over and over again, God's people looked at the future of their city with a posture of fear. God, are you really going to do something here? God, are you really going to rescue us again? I know you have, God, you know, three or four times. Are you going to do so again? There's always this sense of concern over and over and over again. I want to give you one example. One of the darkest days for God's people, the people of Israel, was around 587 BC. King Nebuchadnezzar brings his army in, invades Israel, goes into Jerusalem, attacks the city, knocks down the walls, destroys the temple, takes men, women, and children to the most godless city of its day, the city of Babylon. In the midst of that, in the midst of this situation, people looking around their city at it being broken down and hopeless, no way that God can do anything, in the midst of those dark days, God speaks to Jeremiah and to his people. This is what he says. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. So this is when things are rough. This is when things are struggling and they've been destroyed and then carried off as captives. And God tells Jeremiah, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. It's like God is saying, do not ever question that I can redeem a situation. Do not ever question that God has the power to transform a city. He says, seek peace and prosperity. Continue on, the end of the verse says this, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. If it prospers, you too will prosper. I think we as a church need to understand that the people of Grand Junction can begin to experience prosperity as they're introduced to Jesus. As people experience Jesus and who he is and how much God loves them, they will experience prosperity. Now, I don't necessarily mean financial prosperity, but life will get better. Families will prosper. Kids will prosper. Businesses will prosper. God can transform our city. Now, some of you are still kind of pushing back a little bit. You've heard the statistics. I've shared them with you, that 80%, 90% of people don't go to church. And that statistic is true for our valley as well. So that's a lot of people. I mean, this valley is roughly, I think, 125,000 people from Palisade all the way out towards Fruita and Mac. It just seems too big. Maybe. But do you know what verse comes up shortly after this verse in Jeremiah chapter 29? Some of you would probably say it's your favorite verse. Maybe you even have it, you know, stitched on a picture on the wall or written on your bathroom mirror or at least marked in your Bible. Again, remember, these are the darkest days that God's people have faced, living in the darkest city in the world. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Again, that's a verse that many of you can probably recite, or at least recite the first portion of. You're very familiar with it. But do you believe that? I want to do something this morning, and if you're uncomfortable doing so, that's okay. Don't participate. But I want to invite you to, let's read this verse together. Can we do that? Let's read this verse out loud together. As we do so, I want you to kind of picture our town, our city of Grand Junction. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. But again, do you believe that? I mean, do you believe that God has plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future? Do you believe that about your family? Do you believe that about our city, about your life? Do you believe that about our church? I believe it. I believe God has plans to help us have a hope and a future, to prosper us. That's why I will never stop challenging us as a church to dream big and take risks. God wants us to be all in and all in his mission. I don't know any other way to lead than to challenge us to do just that. Yes, it's a huge vision, but we have a big God. And we have to dream big. We have to take risks. We have to get uncomfortable at times in order to introduce people to Jesus. So there's some areas that we need to improve upon. And I'm going to kind of go back and forth just a little bit here about some things that we've done well and some things that we need to improve upon. First of all, we believe that we should be regularly growing at least 10% every year. So last year, this is kind of where we were. If we're growing healthy, we ought to be growing at least 10% across the board in these different areas of ministry. So last year, we accomplished that with first-time visitors. We had 245 first-time visitors come to Northeast Christian Church. Now, you might be asking, well, where are they? Well, you should also know this, just a little bit of church research, that the general average first-time visitor, only 1 in 10 will stay connected or get connected with that church. So on average, we probably had about 24 new people this year if we're across the board with other churches around the country. That is pretty close to where we're at. Average attendance, we were up 10% this year. Small groups participation and small groups themselves, we added a few new groups this year. That's up 10%. We didn't necessarily meet our goal in the area of serving. We had 114 people this last year plug in and be involved in serving here in the church. We need to do better there. That's not an improvement over the year prior. We did reach our goal with camp attendance. We had 41 kids and students attend Camp Christian this year. Now, some of that might be because, as I announced earlier in the spring, this year our church was doing very well financially, and we decided we were going to scholarship half of the cost of Camp Christian this last year. And so that may have been part of it, but either way, the attendance at Camp Christian grew exponentially. This one this one kind of stings a bit, but we did not improve 10% in the area of baptisms. The year prior, in 2016, we had 17 people make that decision. Last year, 14. We have to figure out and do better and help people get to that place of decision. A few other areas that we need to improve is in the area, and this one I kind of take personally, in the area of new visitor follow-up. I mean, when people come here, we give them a cup, and it's got some information in it, and then we send them a card throughout the week with another nice little gift, but we need to do better at new visitor follow-up. Another area is in next steps. I'll talk a little bit more about this at the end of the message, but people come to church, and they come to God, and they come to faith in Jesus at different places of maturity, and somehow we have to get them on a pathway moving towards full maturity in Jesus Christ, understanding who He is. So we've been talking about this for a few years now, and I think we're kind of ready to implement some next steps processes, so we'll talk more about that later. Ministry team leaders. We have a lot of people that want to serve, but we need some leaders to oversee them. I don't know how else to put it except myself and our staff cannot always have a direct line to every single thing that's going on here. So we need to have some leaders rise up and be involved in us delegating things to them. We need to make it easier for new people to serve faster. People come to church, they enjoy it here, they want to be a part of things, and they hear us talk about serving. It's like, how do I get involved in serving? And we've got to find a way to fast track that process. We need more young adult ministry, more singles ministry. The last few years, we focused a lot on marriage enrichment. We have a cross-country couple ski trip. We have a date night. We have some other things throughout the course of the year. But we need to do better at meeting needs of the singles among us. Mission relationships. We support 13 different ministries and mission works on a monthly basis. We write them checks. Our missions team sends them emails and correspondence and that sort of thing. But if I were to poll the church this morning about who those are, I'd be willing to guess that most of you have no clue who many of the mission works are, the ministries are, that we support on a monthly basis, that we give 10% of our offerings to. So we need to do better at exposing you to them and vice versa, at building relationships so that you can pray for them and maybe even visit them as part of a church mission trip at some point. Mission trips are very near to my heart. We spent 7 years in Mexico City, Mexico at a children's home. Throughout the year, we had many churches visit us to do service projects and encourage us and love on the kids that we were ministering to there. It's a great opportunity to stretch you and to grow you and grow as a group together. Involvement with Colorado Mesa University. There are more than 11,000 students at Colorado Mesa University. We need to find a better way to reach out to them, to encourage them in their understanding of who God is. Building renovations. We're working on that. I was going to, try and do an accent of our fearless presidential leader. Walls have gone up in the new office space, and carpet is going down tomorrow. There's holes in the walls, but we're going to put doors in those and secure those and all that. Enough joking about that. As soon as that office remodel is done, should be very soon. I'm not going to put a deadline on it because our general contractor's in the room. I don't want to hold it. Anyway, as soon as that is done, we're going to make headway in our current office area right here to turn it into nursery space, upgraded nursery space, and then our current nursery will be renovated to become youth space. This stage is going to get a makeover. This room is. The lobby is. There are things coming throughout the course of this year. More changes are happening. Last year was amazing when it came to giving. Let me get to the right place here. 155 families gave. Last year, 155 individuals or families gave last year. Annual giving per attendee was $2,142 per person in attendance. So those of you mathematicians can kind of work that backwards and figure out what that was. I know what that was. I won't share that with you now. But here's the thing. Giving was amazing last year, and we don't even pass offering trays. We don't. We tell stories from time to time about change for a dollar. We want to inspire generosity. We figure that you know God wants you to give back to Him a portion of what He's blessed you with. That's a given. So we're not going to, you know, beat you over the head every week about it. We're going to share stories about how we're being generous with that, and hopefully that will inspire you to continue giving. There are giving boxes out in the hallway where you can give that personally every week. You can give online. You can give stock options. You can do bill pay, which is what my wife and I do. We automate the important, and giving to the church is important to us. So our bank sends the church a check every week. That's what we do. Here's the thing. Northeast Christian Church is an independent church. We're not a part of a denomination. It's not like we get money from some headquarters somewhere to do ministry and pay the bills and renovate and grow. Everything that happens, we don't have a magic tree out back that produces money. You know, if you have one in your yard, please let me know. But everything that happens here is supported out of the generosity, the faithful giving of people that call Northeast Christian Church home. That said, people have asked, well, how is the church doing? We're doing very well. We've been good stewards of money over the last few years, of our resources. We've kept spending down, and we've inspired giving. So we're doing quite well. We have quite a bit of money stockpiled in a savings fund to help cash flow this building renovation that we're doing, and an emergency fund, so that's going well. But in the midst of that, we do still have some debt. I want to talk about this very, very briefly. About 15 years ago, the church leadership here purchased land next door, approximately 9 acres next door. We currently owe $237,000 on that land. It's worth several times that. And you might say, well, why don't we sell it? Well, do you know they're not making any more land, right? They're not. So if a church is going to grow, it needs to be able to grow. And so we plan to use that one day. And so we don't want to sell that. We don't owe very much on it. But I throw that number out, $237,792, for this reason. There may be someone here today that you have the means, and maybe you could help us tackle that in some very effective, efficient way. So I would just challenge you, if that's you, just maybe seek God's direction in that area. God, is this something that you would want me to be a part of tackling for the kingdom here at Northeast Christian Church? Do not do anything that God is not asking you to do, but ask him, God, is there something that you would have me do here? By the way, if you are part of the regular faithful givers here at Northeast Christian Church, I just want to thank you. I do. I want to personally thank you for being faithful in that area, for giving part of what God has blessed you back to him. If you don't give at Northeast, or if this is an area that you're not consistent in, I would challenge you to be praying about that. This year, maybe this is an area that God would challenge you to step out and trust him, that he will provide, and maybe be a part of something bigger than you with your resources. Now, here's a few things that God has laid on my heart as far as a church. I think we've got to take some leaps and bounds forward. One is in the area of prayer, and the other is spiritual growth. Prayer and spiritual growth. We can strategically do better in both of these areas. We can intentionally do better in both these areas. So this year, I want to be a part of leading our church to a higher level of prayer, conversation with God. Great things happen when God's people get together and pray. Great things happen when individuals pray and converse with God. Also, spiritual growth. We have many new people coming to Northeast Christian, as I mentioned already. We need to help disciple them. We need to help grow them up in their knowledge and understanding of who God is and of his word. So how do we do that? How do you do that? Well, that's part of our Next Steps program. We are excited about what God has planned this next year. We've kind of celebrated the past a little bit. We've pictured a preferred future. But this next one might just be the most important thing that we can do as a church in 2018. Number three, humbly ask God what's next. As an individual, I want to challenge you to look up and humbly ask God, God, what's next for me? What steps do you want me to take as an individual this year? And after you ask that question, you know, do something about it. Now, as you think through that, asking that question of God, I mean, is it big? Is it audacious? Is it risky? Does it require faith? Does it make you a little bit uncomfortable? Because if it's not any of those, you might ought to go back to the drawing board. God, what is it that you want of me this year? What are some steps you want me to take this year? The reason this is an important question to ask is this. It is all too easy to drive down Patterson Road and turn in the parking lot and come here on Sunday morning and walk in the door and shake some hands and sit down and sing some songs and hear a message and take communion and give an offering and get back in the car and go back home and think, well, maybe they don't really need me there. I mean, it seems like everything's going okay. Maybe there's not a place for me there. What would I even do there? Here's what I want you to understand. There is something for everyone. And in most cases, more than one thing for everyone. There are some things that you can do to help serve in the church. Now, we are pushing serving through our small groups, so serving projects around the community and in our church. So maybe you need to get involved in a small group. Maybe you need to help welcome people on Sunday morning. And if that's for you, then, you know, let's do it in an organized fashion. We don't want you to just, you know, stand out on Patterson and, you know, like wave at people. But you could do that. But, you know, let us know. Hey, I want to be involved in welcoming people on Sunday morning. And I'm just subtly throwing out some things that need help right now. Maybe it's prepare communion once a month. It takes like an hour a week, once a month, to come in and do that so that the church body can benefit from that. Technology needs here at the church are huge. Do you know who the IT guy is here at the church? I'm not proud of that, but I need some help in the area of technology. If you know someone or want to be involved, please catch me. Leading small groups. Some of you need to step out into a leadership role, helping in the kids ministry, in the student ministry, serving older people in our church. There's something for you to do for the church to benefit and grow from, and trust me, you will benefit and grow as well. This church is about reaching this valley for Jesus Christ. We want everyone to hear the message of Jesus Christ, and we're only going to be effective in that goal if we do so together. It takes all hands on deck. Again, we are a small church with a big vision. And so the only way that these types of things are going to happen is one person, one family, one coworker, one neighbor, one student, one child at a time. But if each and every one of us would take a next step this year, a step forward in trusting God, in growing, in challenging ourselves, if we take one step, I think we could make a step forward as a church, or maybe several step forwards. Steps forward. Thank you. I do think that some of you might be here today because God wants to shake you up just a little bit. God wants to rattle your cage just a little bit. To give you a bigger vision for life than what you've been experiencing so far. What is holding you back from taking your next step? What is it? I mean, for some of you, it might be your past. Well, you know, Seth, you want me to be in a leadership role, and I just don't feel I'm qualified. I mean, I got this stuff, and I haven't dealt with that yet, or, you know, I'm ashamed or frustrated. For some of you, it's something in the past that's keeping you from stepping into a serving role. I hope you know, because we say this all the time, God wants to redeem everything. God can redeem anything in your life if you'll let Him. So trust God and let your past be in the past and move forward. For some of you, maybe it's that you're living for yourself instead of living for a vision bigger than your own. For some of you, maybe you're all about the almighty dollar instead of living to make a difference. And you need to get a little more freeing with what God has blessed you with. God has something for each and every one of us to do. He has a bigger vision for you. Several years ago, Steve Jobs, who was the CEO of Apple at the time, was trying to recruit. He'd kind of gone through some applications and was frustrated. He was trying to recruit the CEO of Pepsi, John Sculley. One day in their conversation, Steve Jobs said this, "Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life, or do you want to come with me and change the world?" I mean, just think about that for a minute. John Sculley left his job there and ended up working 10 years at Apple. I do think that idea kind of strikes at the core of who we are. We know God has something bigger in store for us. We know that we're on this earth for a purpose. We may not fully understand what that is, but I would just ask you, do you want to keep doing what you're doing, or do you want to come along and be a part of something that's going to change the world? Jesus had to have paraphrased that question to his followers. Do you guys want to keep doing what you're doing, or do you want to come with me and be involved in changing the world? The only way you're going to know what that is by humbly asking God, God, what's next? What do you need of me, God? What can I do as part of your kingdom, your church? Here's the takeaway this week. Again, piggybacking off of number three. Ask God, in my faith journey, what is my next step in 2018? Every week we try and give you just a takeaway, something that you can walk out of here with and put wheels to and work on and get moving forward. So I would challenge you, ask God, in my faith journey, what is my next step in 2018? And then do something. Now I do want to get up close and personal with you just a little bit. What is your next step? Well, I'll kind of share this with you today, and then we're going to continue to talk about it. These are some steps that we're going to be talking about, a kind of a next steps pathway, if you will. This is what it may look like for you. We do have a starting point class here that we challenge anybody new to the church, or if you've been here for a while but haven't been to the class, we challenge you to make plans to be in that class. It's about 2 hours long. It includes a light meal. It's on Wednesday nights, and if that doesn't work for you, then we can figure something else out. But it's not every Wednesday night. It's once a month, and we'll share that date with you soon. But it's just a chance where we talk about who we are as a church, what are the core beliefs that we have. So these are things that we're not going to argue about. This is who we are as a church. And then these are things that we really shouldn't argue about, you know, but if people aren't careful, they do. I mean, not in church, but yeah, in church, they do. We talk about how we're organized and then what our strategy is here in the valley. So maybe for you, you need to jump into a starting point class soon and kind of get aligned with who we are, at least aware. Maybe for you, it's in the area of being committed. Maybe you've not been baptized yet. You've been a part of this church or a church for a long time, but you've not made that decision. Maybe for you, it's in the area of worship. You attend infrequently. We'll call it that. If the weather's good in the wintertime, I want to get that right. If the weather's good in the wintertime, or there's no football on, and if I got 8 hours of sleep the night before, then I'll go to church. Maybe you need to step up your game this year and be committed to be involved in worship. When you miss church, other people miss connecting with you. You miss being encouraged by the Lord on that day in that way. And so I would challenge you, maybe this is the year of no excuses. Maybe for you it's in the area of being connected. Some of you are not connected in some form of a small group Bible study. If you are not connected, you are missing out on growing in ways that only happen in a small group setting. More efficient growth, I said it wrong the last service, something of my grammar was bad, you can imagine that, but more efficient growth happens in circles than in rows. So on Sunday morning, yes, you know, it's more one-way conversation. In small group setting, there's discussion, and we grow together, and we learn, and I know it's uncomfortable at times as you get to know people, but get connected in a small group. Maybe it's in the area of serving. You need to step out and get involved in serving. Maybe you need to realize that God can take your gifting, your abilities, your talent, and he can use that for the church to grow the kingdom. Rick Warren once said this, find out what God is doing and be part of it. Find out what God is doing and be part of it. Maybe for you, your next step is to share your faith. And I know that that can be intimidating at times to talk about Jesus or set that out. What if they ask questions or this or that or the other? Trust me, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've made a decision to be committed to him, accepted him as Lord and Savior, you have everything you need in order to share with someone else about Jesus. Maybe it's just sharing your story. Oftentimes when people come to church, it's as a result of hearing someone else's story. This is how life was. And this is how life is. And somewhere here in the middle is when I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and my life changed. Does that mean it's perfect? Does that mean it's easy? No. But it is better. And oftentimes you sharing your story with other people is what helps push them over that line. If you don't have a Northeast Christian sticker on your car, you know, maybe you should slap one on there. Maybe that's a simple inroad for you sharing with someone. Hey, what's that sticker on your car? Oh, it's the church that I go to. And, you know, last service kind of brought some chuckles because I told them that during the service I had some teenagers go out in the parking lot and they're going to put stickers on all the cars that don't have stickers on them. I didn't do that, but that'd be a great idea, right? I don't think there's a crime. Is that a crime? Yeah. Putting a sticker on? The police officer in the room is kind of tweaking his head. I'm just kidding there. I am, sort of. But time and time again, I hear from people that they saw one of our stickers around town and asked somebody, and they ended up here somehow, some way. It's just a simple means to open a door. Maybe for you it's in the area of giving, to use your resources, which God has blessed you with, to be a part of kingdom growth. Maybe it's in the area of leadership. Maybe you need to step out and be involved in leading a small group, or get involved in the children's ministry or youth ministry or whatever. And I know it's uncomfortable. I know it is a little unnerving, but it gets a little easier as you take these steps forward. So maybe it's leadership for you. I don't know what your next step is, but here's what I do know. Most of us are one step away from seeing God do some amazing things in our lives. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. What would it take to push you into your next step this year? Or maybe there's a couple steps that you can take. Whatever it is, I hope that you will have the courage to take those steps. And as you do, I believe you will see God bless that. I believe you'll see God bless our church as we continue to be a small church with a big vision to reach this valley for Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray for courage for you. We're going to sing a song. If you have a decision to make this morning, after that song, I'd invite you to come forward. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for this church, for your Son, for your Spirit. Father, as we leave this place, please give us the boldness, the courage to take whatever next step you may have for us. Help us to ask that question, God, what is my next step this year? Bring us a very clear answer, Lord. Help us to be a people of purpose and intention and just love for other people. We do pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ.